Joining us now here on the Bob and Rob Show, as he does every Tuesday, talk about what's happening in the National Football League and beyond from FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com. He's Mike Harmon. And Mike, before we get to the NFL and everything that's going on with it, including naming the host of Super Bowl 49.
Yay.
Yeah, how about that? Robin Ventura is the new manager of your Chicago White Sox. I'm sure you're getting your season ticket package ready to roll, aren't you?
Well, the fact that Kenny Williams in a press conference also seemed to indicate that he considered approaching Paul Konerko about being a player manager tells me that there were some issues with the thought process here. You know, Robin
Ventura, really see that?
You think you'd put the guy, before he gets into these media situations, you think you'd have the line of, you know, I thought about it at the end of my playing days. It wasn't timing wasn't right getting out, and it's great to be back into this spot. I'm very excited. There's still a, you know, as of a week ago, I really hadn't thought about being a manager at the major league level. How's that inspiring a fan base that just went through the Ozzie Guillen era? That you're bringing in a guy, hadn't really thought about it much, but sure, why not? Hey, I'll take the job.
Hey, Robin, you want to be the manager? Let me think about it. You know, I never really thought about it. Yeah, that's not very well, not very good. It's almost like Kenny Williams wants to be fired. I got to be honest with you.
Well, on some level, you know, there are some people in Chicago wondering the same thing, or if this is just a case of now that he has a manager who that clearly wasn't the career ambition, didn't do his, you know, time in the minor leagues, didn't do what on the other side of town. You know, Cubs fans have been crying for Ryan Sandberg, and when Mike Quadi got the job, they were incensed that Sandberg wasn't that guy, and now they're hoping that there's a press conference to announce the arrival of Theo Epstein, and maybe they bring Sandberg back into the fold. There wasn't a guy that paid his dues, so I don't know. It's a very, very upsetting time, and particularly when you follow that up with, you know, false start penalties on punts in the Monday night game. You know, a lot of folks in Chicago right now having some issues.
Yeah, I'm glad you segued into that. That last night, you know, it's clearly a new regime in the NFC North. We know what the Packers represent because they were getting to that point anyway. But now, clearly, that second team or that team that's going to challenge the Packers, not going to be the Bears. I think what you saw in the Bears is pretty much what their season's going to be this year.
It comes down to, if you can't get a hand on a guy who's never run for more than 76 yards in a single game, and he sprints like a child in a spring meadow, free and clear, with nary a thought in the world that someone might hit him, like Javid Best did, you know, you're going to have a long day. And really it comes down to, you know, they kept pointing to the time of possession in the game, Bears dominating that. But, you know, the offensive line, they were either jumping the snaps, so you had all the false starts, or they didn't bother to get off the block and watched as the blue jerseys swam straight around them. So Jay Cutler, for what he could do, played a pretty nice game. But when you don't have a single wide receiver that you can trust, except for Matt Forte, who also had a huge drop in the game, and your defense is giving up 400 yards per game, your formula for losses is piling up. So people calling for the heads of Lovie Smith and particularly Jerry Angelo.
Yeah, but Lovie just got a contract extension, right? They're not going there yet, are they?
No, well, fans are a different animal, as you know, there in Baltimore.
Oh, sure.
You know, Joe Flacco's a hero one week and, you know, build him a bust, and then the next week they're calling him a bust. Out there, it's really more the GM and, you know, starting to look at time and again the draft choices and the missed draft choices and guys that can't get on the field. And I heard one to a call-in earlier in the week as I was tooling around, started comparing the schools and the pedigree of some of the players on the offensive line, and I don't think he mentioned a Division I school as he went down the list of players that were starting and key personnel on the offensive and defensive lines. So I think that speaks volumes to where they're at.
You sound like a disgruntled Chicago sports fan right now, Mike Harmon.
Well, there is some of that, but you know what? Like the good folks in Philadelphia and other in New York right now, you know, there's a lot of negativity to flow, so I'm just letting it flow through me.
You know, I'm not a huge Marvin Lewis fan, to be honest with you, but you talked about coaches who are doing bad jobs and good jobs. You know, you got to say right now with that team he has in Cincinnati at 3-2, he's doing this might be his best coaching job ever as a head coach.
I think part of it is that he's getting to coach.
Yeah.
is what I have to wonder on some level, and he's not dealing with having to deal with egos as he has the past few years. He can just teach the kids how to play. You've got a no-name defense that's among the top-ranked units both against the run and against the pass, and you know they've gotten, except for getting gashed for a few plays by Maurice Jones-Drew, one of which fantasy owners that lost to anybody with Maurice Jones-Drew, start your petitions to get that play taken off the board after his knee hit and he scrambled for another 20 yards. That sounds like a disgruntled fantasy owner now.
Yeah, that's what you have.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, they're playing good football. Andy Dalton making good decisions with the football. And, you know, they've still got the Jerome Simpson and Cedric Benson issues hanging over their heads. But, you know, they've got potential stars in Dalton and Green, with Gresham being a very nice red zone option there at tight end. So you've got the makings of a nice rebuilding project. And, you know, I was among those chanting loudest for this guy to have been relieved of his duties and to move into, you know, broadcasting for a year or two before reemerging as a coordinator.
Yeah, you and I both.
Yeah, but probably doing the best job, I think, coaching that he's done. And I think part of it just being that he can coach these guys.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, joining us here on the Bob and Rob Show, as he does every Tuesday. Houston Texans are coming to Baltimore this Sunday, and they're going to be without Andre Johnson, without Mario Williams. We had someone send a text earlier today, said this is the equivalent of the Ravens trying to go at it without Ray Rice and without Haloti Ngata. So looking at Houston without their best offensive and defensive player, how do they come to Baltimore and beat up on a Ravens team that's 8 of their last 9 after a bye, and Houston coming off of a very disappointing loss at home?
Wow, that was perhaps the most deflating home loss you'll see in recent memory. I mean, very quietly, Matt Schaub goes for 400 yards, and I defy you to find where they went. About 170 of them went to Owen Daniels and Joel Dreesen, the two tight ends. So with Johnson out, Daniels becomes your number one, and it was just a question of whether Dreesen or Casey were going to slide into the two role. Got a little bit of love for Kevin Walter, and here's a great stat you could throw out for the week. Jacoby Jones, the deep threat, targeted 11 times, one catch, 9 yards.
Yeah.
11 targets. They couldn't figure out how to get this guy the ball.
Well, Lester Hayes and Mike Haynes shot him down is what happened.
Well, you know what? We can talk about stick'em, because that's the resounding theme as I look at the NFL week that was. So many tip balls, and, well, it goes as interceptions against the quarterback, but guys just aren't getting their hands up there. They're afraid of getting blown up. It's like, make the catch, then get down. See, it's a nice two-step process, but coming into this game, they're going to have to rely on Arian Foster to get it going on the ground, and as we know, that's a very tall order.
You know, the Bucs went into San Francisco, both teams 3-1, came out with a 48-3 loss. What did we learn about two teams that we both had question marks at 3-1?
Well, you never go with the team traveling on a short week, flying across the country, if you're looking to, pad your wallet. How's that? Josh Freeman doesn't have a number one receiver right now. Mike Williams has essentially disappeared. And the one thing you can say about Jim Harbaugh's squad is they're playing old-style football. Smash you in the face, smash it on the ground. Frank Gore for the second straight week, I think he's piled up 60 touches thereabouts in the last 2 weeks, including 50 on the ground. So, you know, they're going back to old school, letting Alex Smith, you know, be comfortable using the two tight ends, Walker and Davis, quite a bit. So, you know, a different identity for this team, playing really good football in the run defense, too, giving up about 65, 70 yards per game, shut down Blunt before he left with a knee injury. And that's going to be a huge loss for Tampa Bay if he's gone. They turn to Ernest Graham, who's more of a pass catcher and blocker than he is a runner at this point in his career. So potentially a huge loss, and a lot more put on the arm of Josh Freeman with New Orleans coming to town.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com, joins us here on the Bob and Rob Show, 105.7 The Fan, every Tuesday. Super Bowl 49 will be played in Phoenix, or Glendale, I should say, Arizona. Where's Super Bowl 50 going to be? According to Jim Trotter of SI.com, he thinks it's going to be where the first Super Bowl was played, Los Angeles.
You know where everybody wants it, right?
Right. In Baltimore, of course.
Well, you know, if we're going to rotate in some of these other cold weather cities, why shouldn't Baltimore be on the map? Come on, let's bring it there. If you're going to get New York, New Jersey, if you're going to bring it to Indianapolis, really? That's a destination for people. But yes, the Los Angeles thing alive and well, and you saw the empty seats, Jacksonville, and part of it was weather related because they had another downpour. But certainly a team that's on the radar, and now the passing of Al Davis, the vultures are all over. And I've seen numerous articles. What if they want to come back now? Is it an easier process with Al out of the picture and his son, who may or may not want long term ownership of the team? Does one of these groups that built these or has proposed to build the grand facility here in Los Angeles, do they get into the ownership game? A lot of moving parts right now, but certainly momentum starting to build.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com. Tell everybody about that and SwollenDome.com as well.
Fired up. I've got the heroes and zeros of week five up, the lengthy diatribes, support my carpal tunnel, and read those over on FoxSports.com. SwollenDome.com. I'll have the target data, some early waiver wires, pick up for you for this week, and then later on we'll get back to the lineup calls. And always a daily podcast link will be up there shortly, as well as your beautiful voices after we finish this.
Awesome. Say hello to the Kardashians for us, as always.
Always. I'll go stalk them for you in a few minutes.
All right, see you.
Be well, fellas. All right.